Good morning. It is 8:16, Galesburg's Morning News. Tom Meredith, Tyler Gom, Nick Isher. There was an election last night.
There was.
I know you heard about it. It's, well, for the most part, over and done with. There's some other, I don't know, there might be a race somewhere that's not decided yet, but not one anybody really cares about that much, though.
Yeah, we've all moved on.
Well, we did have a lot of local activity last night, including for our 74th District State Representative, and the incumbent won his third consecutive term, and he joins us here this morning, 74th District State Representative Dan Swanson. Representative Swanson, good morning and congratulations.
Good morning, Tom, and good morning to Tyler and Nick. Thanks very much. It's a good day when you wake up after the election.
Especially with a win, right?
Yeah, exactly. But we've got it behind us now, and it's back to work for sure.
Well, you mentioned, we were just talking off the air, I'd asked you if you'd gotten your harvest all completed. You said you just wrapped up Monday. I'm guessing leading up to the election, that was something that maybe helped keep your mind occupied other than the impending election?
It does. When I can spend hours in the combine and, kind of watch the harvest come along, it helps. And when I was in the Army, I would take 2 weeks in the spring and 2 weeks in the fall to help with the planting and harvesting, and I'd go back to work and just felt invigorated to get back at it. And the soldiers knew when I'd been gone because I came back with all these great, wonderful ideas.
You had so much time to think, right? And they loved it, huh?
Exactly.
State Representative Dan Swanson joining us here this morning. Your third term, Dan. You know, going into this, the first time around after Don Moffitt decided to retire from public service, at least in the state government, and you decided to run. Was there any thoughts like, okay, if I win, how long will I stay? What do I want to get accomplished? What kind of thoughts were going through your mind the first time around?
Well, the first time around, it was just everything was all new in that. And, it's something. I believe in term limits for leadership, and I also believe in, there comes a point in time when we need to step aside and let someone else come in. And I've already got my career in the military. I don't plan on making a career out of the state representative position, so I've won this election, and we'll see how many more come forward.
Well, I'm guessing also it takes a number of terms to get your feet wet and kind of get into your rhythm, because that first time around you're just learning. Second time you know a little more. This time you're going to be, I'm guessing, feel a little bit more comfortable this time with everything that goes on in the whole process.
Right, and this next time after, usually the third term here, we start taking on some leadership roles. Whether it's a minority spokesperson for committee or taking on some other type of leadership with the GOP caucus. So, some additional responsibilities added to it. And when you think about the time we spend in Springfield compared to a full-time job, we only spend about 50 days in Springfield during the spring. And so after even, 3 years, that's only 150 days. That's not even half a year that we've actually spent in Springfield doing our job there.
That would kill me, because that would mean 50 days of Darcy's pint. I'd be eating a a horseshoe every day, and I would pay for it.
Well, that too.
74th District State Representative Dan Swanson joining us here this morning. Won his third term last night. Dan, one of the things that happened, there was a couple of big issues on our ballot statewide. One was the Justice Kilbride and whether he would be retained, and this is something that has not happened before. My question about this: he is not going to be retained. What is the process? Who makes the decision on his replacement until the next election? And could we be back in the same situation we were with the accusations of him being in Madigan's pocket or vice versa?
Well, it's kind of a bigger process, as I understand, is listening to some folks who know what's going on that. But, potentially it depends on how the rest of the Supreme Court justices line up. Most likely, depending upon the election down in Southern Illinois, if we haven't even balanced on the Supreme Court, that seat may be vacant until the next election. So there's always that possibility that, you know, if there's three Republicans and three Democrats sitting on that Supreme Court with this one vacancy, there's nothing, you know, it takes a majority to appoint someone, and if we don't have the majority on the Supreme Court, that seat could be vacant for up to 2 years now.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't know if it was a thing where the governor or the speaker or somebody made the recommendation, like on the national level, so that's obviously not the case then.
Correct. No, it is not. It most likely will remain vacant up till the next election.
Yeah, you know, that was a really interesting thing, because in my years of voting, I never remember there being an issue. I would always see those on the ballot, and I would not normally know. I didn't do my homework, and I wouldn't normally know who they are. I'm like, yeah, I guess they're doing okay. I'll say yes. This is the first time I remember there being a campaign against retaining one. And I'm sure he's probably a pretty nice guy. And I respect a lot of the people that were supporting him talking about his integrity. I respect that. But a lot of that, they said, was talking about when he handled criminal cases, which was a completely different thing than what happened here. But then you ran into the fact that, which I think people, you know, really thought about that, the fact that Madigan put, what, $500,000 behind his campaign, and, you know, he voted against. Wasn't he the deciding vote as far as the gerrymandering and not being able to redistrict? I mean, things like that. I think people really paid attention this time.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, voters are becoming more informed. And in this case, they certainly were very well informed on, as you said, they could read through what was being provided as far as information on that particular race, too.
Well, the other big thing, of course, was the quote-unquote fair tax, which did not seem very fair. And again, the Illinois voters did see through that. And again, you know, there was a lot of campaign rhetoric from both sides of that issue, but I think people saw that. Seeing the commercials that the side for it was saying, it's like, oh, I shouldn't be paying the same tax rate millionaires pay. It's like, it couldn't be more fair than it is. You're paying the same rate, but you're not paying the same amount. I mean, that's what people need to understand. I think the flat tax is as fair as it can get.
Right. And that, you know, it was one of the comments I received on my Facebook post was, you know, we went into the polling booth expecting to see this fair tax. And there was nothing about a fair tax. There was only a constitutional amendment. So, you know, in some respects, we may not have marketed that appropriately by calling it a fair tax. Of course, it was labeled a fair tax by the proponents. Opponents called it the progressive tax. And so it was kind of a surprise, I think, when people stepped in that polling booth and didn't see the words fair tax. It threw them for a loop until they read what the constitutional amendment was.
Yeah, progressively keep raising your taxes is the way it sounded what they wanted to do, that's for sure.
Right.
74th District State Representative Dan Swanson joining us here this morning. Well, Representative Swanson, let's talk about the future. When will you actually get back to Springfield? When will the next session be? And what are, in your opinion, maybe the biggest issues, whether they're facing the state or just our 74th District?
Well, we go back the 17th of November. We've got 3 days, the 17th, 18th, and 19th, and then I believe it's December 1st, 2nd, 3rd for veto session. Of course, the governor hasn't vetoed any legislation, but so most of our time will be occupied as we look at some of the issues coming forward as far as ethics, social justice, education, and some of those issues being brought forth by the majority party, the Democrats. And so those are some of the things we'll be facing. As far as the district here, you know, COVID is today here in our district as we wake up to Region 2 and the mitigation. So we've got to get through this, too, as we move forward, the mitigation.
Yeah, and that's become such a big issue, and I know you've been involved in conference calls with other representatives and mayors and with the governor and his medical director, and, you know, but between basketball and, you know, the restaurants and bars, it seems like on the administration side, we're just making up our own rules and we're not proving any science behind what we're doing.
Exactly right, and it's our small businesses that suffer. So we're told the science shows that the contact is made through contact tracing, we're tagging bars and restaurants as being some of the higher locations for contact of COVID. But boy, we just aren't seeing the science to that as to how they're justifying that. And you know, our health department is doing a heck of a job out there trying to keep us all informed and educated. But it comes a point in time now where, you know, as I've talked with many business owners, you know, I can't stand another 2 weeks of being closed. I just can't, you know, between the bank and my own personal family life, we just can't afford to close again.
Yeah, and you even had, you know, when you got Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot saying, yeah, it's not showing that here. That's not where the contact tracing is not showing that this is happening in bars and restaurants. So, I mean, you even got her saying, you know, hey, something's wrong with your science there, Mr. Governor.
Right. You know, and unfortunately, where we have some high numbers in our nursing homes, and my gosh, it's like going into Fort Knox to even get in a nursing home now. So, you know, we need to focus where we're having the biggest numbers, and less so as we are out in public and socializing.
74 District State Representative Dan Swanson joining us here this morning. Have you, I'm guessing you get a lot of calls on COVID, among other things. What about, like, with the mitigations as far as basketball and that? Does your office and do you get calls regarding that and say, hey, what can you do for us? Obviously, the IHSA is defying it right now, but have you talked to a lot of people about that?
Well, I've talked with superintendents and principals, and also have talked with Dr. Ezeki about why we're not following the federal guidelines. The federal guidelines have basketball as medium risk.
Yeah.
And I've asked for the science of how did we determine it to be a high risk? Why are we not following the federal guidelines on athletic sports especially? And I'm still waiting for the answer on that. But, you know, when we look at our rural communities and basketball games are what generate business at our restaurants and bars, and people come to a ball game afterwards, they go have a bite to eat, or they eat before they go to the game, and you know, a lot of revenue generated just by our high school sports.
Absolutely. 74th District State Representative Dan Swanson won his third term last night. Representative Swanson, anything else before we wrap up? Anything else you'd like to say to constituents?
Well, I would just like to say thank you. I'm once again honored and humbled by the support that I received last night, and very overwhelmingly the numbers in Knox County and Galesburg itself were just, as I said, very humbling. And we've got a lot of work to do yet in the General Assembly, and you know, we'll get back to it here in the next couple of weeks, and we'll start up in the 102nd General Assembly coming up in January.
I mean, personally, I was glad no basketball, because Tyler's been wanting to play me one-on-one, and I just wouldn't be fair to him. So I need about 3-4.5 years to get in shape and get ready.
Well, he's not called Tom Buckets for nothing.
There you go.
Well, just set the trash can up. Water some
There you go. That would be about my speed right now.
Yeah. It's not a regulation Nerf ball, Tom.
There you go. All right. State Representative Dan Swanson, again, congratulations on your win last night, third term in the 74th District. Dan, thank you so much for taking some time with us this morning.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.